1800s. You know, we just, that's silly.
But wait a minute, the police chief uses that law. You don't want to take away the power of the police chief, do you?
Oh, absolutely. We want to get to where we can, I'm hoping we can charter our city and start electing our police chief. I want to take his, the police chief we currently have, I want to take all his power away.
What's his name?
His name's Randy Mendoza. He's a violator of human rights. He is the one who sets policy. He is the one who lies to city council members when they go in there and ask them him direct questions about what's been reported to them.
That, by the way, was a complaint of Dave Meserve on the air. He's one of your council members. He said that the problem he had with homeless coalition folks, even though he's very sympathetic, is that you do not have enough documentation of particular police abuses, and that's what he needs to see and have done. What's your reaction to that?
Well, once I have the documentation, then I'm going to the civil courts, I'm going to the grand jury, I'm going to the Justice Department, I'm going above the city council member. I go up to him and say, check the tickets from these police officers on this day. He doesn't do it. He wants me to supply the proof. They won't give me, that's his police department. They're supposed to give him that information. You know, and when you go out and see that three officers wrote 400 tickets in one week in between them, all for petty, petty, petty things, all to people that reported on the tickets as transients, then, what more proof does he need? He's just putting his blind eyes. He gives these grandiose speeches about how not having toilets is wrong, and then they drop it. He doesn't put it on the agenda. He doesn't push these issues, even though he says he feels very strongly about them. And we think that he's just letting us down. We don't, he wants us to go out and be the police that police the police, but he's got access to way more information than we do.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Tad and Oz. How you doing there, Oz? You still on the phone?
Doing real good, yeah.
Okay.
Good conversation this morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Up in Arcata, thanks for giving us the opportunity to get with the lowdown. This is a rare opportunity. Most of the time you don't get these kinds of specifics from people so directly involved in them and, so immediately trying to make change this way. Is there more we should know about? I know that you, Tad, had, and I don't want to get into it at great length because I think it's exhausted you and taken a lot of the focus away from the stuff you're now doing, which I think is more to the point, but you've had a long court case dragged on and on from, actually, I guess it's from July, based on probation that you accepted in March for essentially trying to sleep. And is that an accurate description?
Well, they have to either say I was trying to sleep, or on the other hand, they have to say that I was legitimately protesting and they shut me down. So it's depending on whose point of view you're looking at. They charged me with a sleeping crime, the lodging in place and the trespassing, which, every homeless person listening to your radio show shaking their head right now going, yeah, they do that to me, but they also did it to me out of protest. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they have to admit it one way or the other. It really was a protest that they stopped.
Are you spending less time in the courts dealing with this? Because I know that a lot of our discussions in 3 or 4 months ago was around court issues. Now it's barely mentioned. Is that because I realize the courts are a dead end pretty much.
Well, I changed my strategy, and here's what I learned. Is that you can give up a right. For instance, I gave up my right to have a lawyer. But then anytime you want, you can come back in and say, I've changed my mind, I want my right back. And then they have to give you the lawyer. Even if you tried to fire the lawyer, they still can give you the same one you tried to fire. So what I've decided to do is when I have to file paperwork, I type up all the paperwork I want to file. I go in there and say, I want my lawyer back. They give me my lawyer back. My lawyer files my paperwork. Then I go in there and say, I fire my lawyer. And then I'm back on my own. And if I have to file more paperwork in a couple of weeks, I want my lawyer back because I need a lawyer to file the paperwork. But I don't want my lawyer to be able to talk for me in court.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I like it. May have to come up to Arcata and take notes.
Yeah. Well, we're saying that. We're saying come to Arcata and take notes. We'll give you nonviolence training. We'll give you cop watch training. We'll give you training on how to deal with with not only the predators in the blue uniforms, which we'll give you the information on how to deal with people that are predators on homeless, other homeless people that are predators, people in houses that are predators on homeless people, and we're starting this whole watch out for each other. You know, when we see trouble in town, we try to get the trouble diffused before the cops get there. We want the cops to show up at every instant and not have anybody to ticket or arrest. That's our goal. And, you know, we're not achieving it because we don't have enough numbers yet, but soon we will have enough numbers, and soon we will diffuse problems before they become crimes.
Wow.
And that's our hope. And then once we start doing that, it'll be easy to point at the things that aren't crimes, that people are being arrested and ticketed for, and saying, see, this is what they're doing. Because what they do now is they use the real crimes, the very few, to justify the hundreds and hundreds of really bullshit crimes.
Yeah, I know. Here in Santa Cruz, we've had some torchings of mobile homes and some arsons in the last couple of weeks, last month or two. And they're blaming some of this on transients, fires, that sort of thing. That's one of the excuses given why people shouldn't be allowed to camp, is because of the fire danger. Have you had that kind of problem up in Arcata?
Well, we had a really, really curious church fire. This old church burned down, and the police said that there was no utilities to the church, and it had to be transients. They had to crawl under and pass this really nice camp set up under the camp, and they crawl on their belly to the other side, build a fire that they couldn't even sit up and enjoy, and it got out of control, so they crawled back out, crawled through the crawl hole, nailed it back exactly the way it was before the building burned down, and ran off. And they said that was a transient. Then the paper comes out, and the reporter says, well, I was in there 2 days earlier, and I turned on a light switch. And the fire started right by where the light switch was at the front door. So we believe that it was A, an accident, or B, an insurance arson to get paid off, because they wanted to redo the church anyway. And it had nothing to do with the transients, as they call it, or trashy transients, what they called it.
I know we have a local homeless man who lives in his vehicle, Jon Golder, who's been mercilessly harassed by the city manager and the police, and he was arrested for researching files with me for violating a restraining order about going into Parks and Rec offices about a month ago. If you ever get on the internet, you can read the story, www.santacruz.indymedia.org. This is not just for you folks up there, but also for anybody listening out there. Again, his name is Jon Golder, G-O-L-D-E-R. Just go to the search function for G-O-L-D-E-R at www.santacruz, small letters, one word, .indymedia.org. And Jon himself has been, you know, struggling with this whole situation. What the heck was my point at a point when I started this whole thing? Let's see, we were talking about fires there for a moment. The blaming of homeless people. I'm afraid I've lost it, but if I regain it, I'll get back to it.
Well, one of the things that we've noticed is it's not just fires. We had a liquor store get robbed last year, and the first thing the police put in the paper, or the paper put, police are looking for a transient. And, you know, it turns out they caught a kid that lived in a house that robbed the liquor store, but the very first story, and they never retract that, so they're planting this transient word in people's mind, much like the Southerners planted that such offensive word about blacks that I can't say.
Nigger, yeah.
People's minds.
We can say it.
And that's really what that is that's just another term to villainize us. Then when people say they're a transient, all of a sudden somebody who doesn't know anything about homelessness is scared. They're, oh my God, it's a transient. Aren't those the people that kill people? Aren't those the people that burn people? Aren't those the people that rob people? And so we're really, really adamant with the local papers and the media about using that word. Don't call them transient. If somebody is unhoused, then that isn't an issue of whether they're a criminal or not, because a lot of housed people commit crimes too.
Right, and of course, but the point is that they want to make homelessness itself a crime, and that is what they're doing. If you aren't fitting in, you know, you are not just suspicious, but appropriately amenable to criminal penalties, and that's, of course, violation of basic constitutional rights, and that's. I'm glad to hear you're successfully challenging it with these novel new techniques. I'm really impressed with that.
Well, they're not really new. It's just that they're ones
for me
that
have
been dusted off, and as the old men that were really active in this in other places. I mean, we have a brother that just came in that has 20 years experience in the homeless issues. Oz here, he's got 10 years experience in these issues, and we're just pulling things from these people that were used once upon a time back out and using them again, maybe putting a little fresh paint on them and coming out. And we have some very effectives. We go talk at all meetings. If a group is having a meeting, we try to get on their agenda and speak to them over the issue. Right now we're speaking to them over the issue of public toilets. We're still incensed because what they're doing here is you don't have a public toilet, so you sneak behind a dumpster, you go to the bathroom, you get caught, you get thrown in jail, the court sentences you to community service, you go over and work at the local homeless service center where they give you a pair of gloves and a bucket and send you out into the alley to pick up human feces. You see how it all goes round circle? Why don't they just put a porta-potty or, a better yet, a regular bathroom in the middle of this cycle, and that would end it?
It's hard to argue with you, but why don't we just simply put you under arrest and take you away? That might be easier.
Well, that's their plan. You know, I mean, we've had people that have been targeted because they've been working closely with the homeless committee.
How can folks who want more direct information about Arcata get in touch with you? Is there a website? Is there an address, an email address? Is there a phone number? Do you want to give out that information for people who want to get more direct information on this situation up there?
You know, my email, still, we don't have our website set up. We're still, we're homeless people. We're technology just isn't part of being homeless, so we just haven't got to that yet. But we have an email address at tadspeace that you can still use. That's yahoo.com.
That's tadspeace at yahoo.com.
Right. And then you can call us at...
Peace as in peace, brother.
P-E-A-C-E, correct. And that's T-A-D-S, tadspeace. And then we have a phone, and that's 707. I don't call the long distance. By 707.
Yeah, 707.
825-7636.
707-825-7636 to get in touch with the Houseless Coalition up in Arcata. Talk to Tad or maybe Oz.
Our address is 632 9th Street in Arcata. And so if anybody just comes into town and wants to come by and talk to us and find out what we're up to and what we're about, they're certainly welcome.
632 9th Street.
Right. Our sign on our door always says closed.
Always says closed?
Always says closed. We haven't been. In fact, we put, if you don't have a warrant, go away on the open side of the sign. So,
sounds like
an open sign.
Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hey, I hope you get a free radio station operating up there as well soon. I mean, that would be
useful. I need to talk to you about that. I'm hoping to get a little bit of time and come down to Santa Cruz for a week. Maybe come around. Maybe I'll address your city council.
Definitely, you could undress city council. That would be very happy, actually.
What?
Address them or undress them, as the case may be.
I don't know. Most city council people look pretty ugly to me. I wouldn't want to see them.
They look ugly with their clothes on, I could tell you. They'd look much better without their clothes on.
Okay. Well, the emperor wears no clothes, my friend.
Well, we'd see the naked truth.
That's right. All right. Thank you very much, and tell everybody in Santa Cruz I love them.
Hey, thanks, Dad. Thank you, Oz.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Peace, brother.
Bye-bye. And that was Tad and Oz up in Arcata. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org in Santa Cruz. Phone number 427-3772. My apologies to, I've been getting emails from Norway here, and I can't keep them on the screen. I think we're having a problem in the studio with the computer. I have to keep rebooting it, and so I apologize to you, Harmony. Every time I intend to start reading it, it disappears on me, so I'm going to try yet again, see if I can boot it up. But I will continue to persevere. We still have in the studio Valerie Christie with us. Valerie is a street performer. And you had a second song, Valerie, that you were going to sing, is that right?
Well, yeah, I had a song about the sleeping van. Again, the same idea of us all being able to identify with the problem instead of saying, oh, the homeless people's problem. So, yeah, I did, if you want me to play that.
Please, I'd like that. I'd like a new computer, too, while we're at it.
I know that Huff has fought trying to end the sleeping ban for quite a while, So I decided to write a song about it because I really relate to it. I think we could all end up being ticketed for a sleeping ban at one time or another. All we have to do is lose our job. And it's pretty quick. It happens pretty fast. All of a sudden you're on the street and you might have tickets and you don't have the money to pay for it.
To playing with music in front of you. It looks like you usually have the words in front of you. So
I'm getting a little better, but I haven't been playing a lot. I'm practicing, getting better, so it takes a lot of practice.
And practice makes perfect.
That's right.
Come on down to the SAFE event and check out the next version that comes up. I think I may have gotten online briefly, but this computer is going offline as quickly as I can get it on. I'm going to rush to try to get the email so I can actually read you a little of what's coming in from halfway across the world, which I may not be able to do, but I'm going to try to do it. If you want to call in, the phone number is 427-3772. Phone lines are open. I know I missed a call a few moments ago, but you might want to call back, caller, if you want to try and get through. We have about an hour and a half left in the show, and we're going to be doing more music than I'm accustomed to, because usually I have stuff on the computer that I'm able to get to, and I'm having trouble doing that. There's a seems to be a problem we're having, but I'm working on it, so we'll see if we can come through it. There's a city council meeting coming up this Tuesday. One of the things at the city council meeting, there it goes again, can't get through on the signal. We have a phone call, though. Let's see what's happening on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, this is Harmony from Norway.
Harmony.
Robert?
Yes. Yeah. My God, we're trying to catch you on the email. Have you been listening to the show?
Yes, my husband and I have been listening. We missed about half an hour of the beginning of it, but we've been listening to all the rest of it. So.
Wow, you're patient. This is probably one of the longest shows on Free Radio. I guess the Skidmark and the V-Man sometimes have longer shows, but this is a marathon show. Any comments or thoughts?
Oh, yes, we... okay, now...
You probably should turn down your radio. You've got a delay there.
Exactly. We have to turn it down.
Yeah.
Turn it way down. Turn it. Yes, BT and I were commenting on our various experiences in Santa Cruz when we were there, and when we were there homeless.
When were you here?
That would have been... Well, homeless, that would have been 1997-98.
Uh-huh.
I have been housed in Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. also, been working in Santa Cruz, so I've sort of experienced both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people have. In fact, that's how people often begin. They begin homeless, and they either work their way into houses or... They're still struggling in vehicles, and they've adopted low profiles off to the side. They know what it means to be harassed by the police. Have you suffered that kind of experience yourself?
Oh, God, yes. It was really awful. I remember one night when we first were homeless in Santa Cruz, we drove around looking for a safe place to be, and we could not find anything. And I was so tired that we wound up driving through Santa Barbara.
Really?
I finally reached the point where I drove all the way to Los Angeles.
Good grief.
It was just the nightmare from hell.
Well, Santa Barbara is kind of like Santa Cruz. They're both these seaside yuppie towns, which, have laws against sleeping. I worked in Santa Barbara for a year.
Mm. Yes.
I'm hearing an echo on my monitor. I don't know what's going on. My computer's out. We're getting echoes in the studio, but at least we have you on the line. So I mean, that's one of the. So you lived for 2 years in Santa Cruz, and how much of that time were you homeless?
Homeless a couple of months, and I was there in the Santa Cruz, Live Oak, Soquel, Aptos. Mm-hmm. I lived in various apartments in about a 5-year period, and also working at very low wage jobs. It's the classic thing of our needing to get a living wage going in the U.S.
What kind of work were you doing?
I was in the health field, home health aid.
Mm-hmm. And you, even in those days, the rents were horrendous. They've gotten even worse, of course. But so you were actually only on the streets for a couple of months. You must have gotten into housing pretty quickly and been pretty successful.
It was just a real struggle. All in all, I was homeless for 9 months.
9 months?
Yes.
And during that time, did you have any contacts with the police?
Yes, briefly. As I said, BT and I got in our van and drove down to Santa Barbara, and we tried to pull over and sleep, and the neighbor saw us, and obviously we were the transient terrorists.
transient terrorists, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, your friendly local transient terrorists. So the police came by to tell us that, of course, we could not sleep there.
Of course.
You know, I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, exhausted people traveling in the car, what better setup for getting into an accident someplace?
What, did you mention this concern to the Santa Barbara police?
Oh, yes, and they that it wasn't their concern. Just get out of town. Bye-bye.
You know, in 97 was the time when Santa Barbara police instructed a woman to move from a campsite, which was in a sort of a more populated area around a couple of other homeless people further away. She was later found stabbed to death with a camping ticket in her hand at a more distant campsite.
Oh, my
God. I think activist Becky Johnson did a front page story in the Street Spirit newspaper. It was in October 1997 that story aired. But, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of issues, not just basic human dignity and human rights and due process under the law, the right not to be subject to cruel and unusual punishment, the right to travel, the right to survive. But is a much more kind of immediate public safety issue here too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you say that you're only approached by police once in your 9 months of homelessness. Sounds like.
Oh no. That was incorrect of me. If I gave that impression.
I mean, I'm glad if it were true, I'd be happy. What was the actual situation?
Well, as I said, we wound up driving from Santa Cruz to Los Angeles, and we were in Los Angeles. Actually, I was in Altadena, trying to look up an old friend of mine. My husband and I had been married for about 1 week. We met on the internet, online. He's from Norway. I'm from the U.S. And he'd flown out to meet me, and we've gotten married.
Wow. You wild and crazy woman.
Yes, just a wild and crazy woman. But so here we were in Altadena, trying to look up my friend. And I wrote a note to my friend Terry and left it on the door of their house, he and his lady friend, explaining that my husband and I were in town and wondering where the heck they were. And we pinned the note up to the door, and we were walking away from their apartment and had pulled onto the street. I can't remember which street it was in Altadena.
What's the name of this town again?
And all of a sudden, three cop cars pulled up and surrounded us, and a number of police were accosting BT. But perhaps he's right here. He can tell you the account much better.
Norwegian or English?
He's Norwegian and he speaks English fantastically. Here he is.
Good.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
My name is Bjorn Ture. I'm a family husband.
Yeah. Welcome to Free Radio, Bjorn Ture.
Yeah. You can call me Bjorn.
Bjorn.
Yeah.
Okay, Bjorn, go ahead. She was telling me you had quite an experience with three police cars in, Albadena?
Yeah, I was in Los Angeles, in a part of Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And three squad cars came up and surrounded us and put me up to the wall with a hand behind my back. And they called on the phone and said, yeah, that's the people. And they have, I think they got some message from neighbors that saw us hanging up that note. And they started checking out all my clothes and into my socks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them I was from Norway. They wanted to know where I was from.
Mm-hmm.
But of course they wouldn't believe me because they didn't believe that Norwegians can speak English or something.
Yeah, it's clearly you're a freak, man.
I guess so. But there was a few things that surprised me about coming to America from Norway. To compare the systems of the countries, and one of them was that, well, to start with, we were thrown out of Harmony's place because her landlady didn't like her having male visitors.
And particularly Norwegian male visitors.
What?
Norwegian male visitors.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But for some reason, she wouldn't allow Harmony to have a place, a guy staying with her.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we...
How old is Harmony, by the way?
Harmony is 53.
Well, you know, she's yet a young woman. Maybe when she gets to be older, she'll be able to run her own life.
Yeah, well, you've got to ask the landlady about that.
Yeah, yeah, the landlady's rule. Keep that in mind. Yeah. Go ahead.
But anyways, what I was coming to was that when we were driving down to Los Angeles, I'm used to, from Norway here, that there is something called an all man's right, and that is land that is not specifically used for farming or anything. Everybody can camp on it.
That's true in Norway?
Yeah. So you are not allowed, even if you own huge land, you are not allowed to stop people from camping on it.
Huh. Even on private property?
Yeah, on private property.
Huh.
And it's an old law called all men's right that everybody has the right to use the land that is not farm crops on it or anything.
So homeless people in Norway are able to camp where they wish?
Yeah, wherever you wish, and not inside people's gardens, but
right. But
anywhere else where there's not farm or anything, you can camp wherever you want. Or you have to move in 2 days. You have, if there are other people who want to camp where you are, you have to leave the spot to them and pick another, so you have to move like 3 meters or so, if you understand.
3 kilometers?
No, you just have to move off that spot if you are in a very popular area.
Oh, I see.
Where many people want to camp.
I see.
Then you can't hog a spot for more than 2 days.
I see.
But you can go wherever you want.
Has this been the case? Has this always been the case, or is this a new law?
No, it's ancient.
Ancient, okay. Gotcha.
And the other thing was, when we came to Pasadena, we were applying there for food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a foreigner, I was turned away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any food stamps, so I asked them what I was supposed to do. And they said, no, they didn't know what I was supposed to do. And that was strange to me, because in Norway you are not allowed to turn people away when they ask for help.
Well, we have a more enlightened policy in this country, you see. We believe that America for Americans, Norway for Norwegians, go back to Norway and eat.
Yeah, but it was too far from Pasadena to Norway to get to Norway overnight.
Yeah, it's your problem, buddy.
Yeah, I understand. But it was surprising to me, because if you come from America here to Norway and you, for some reason, run out of money or anything, and you go and say that you have nothing to eat or no place to sleep, they are required by law to give you a roof over your head and something to eat.
Amazing. Let me ask you a question or two about Norway. Do you have... Well, first of all, yesterday was a big day of anti-war protest in San Francisco. Has there been much protest against the U.S. War of aggression in Iraq and the continued occupation there in Norway?
Yeah, Norway, officially Norway is on the United Nations line. They do not support America going on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And Norway will not only follow United Nations directions. In the people in general, there are, like I feel in most of Europe, there are opposition against America going alone on this issue.
So if America can bully its way into the UN and get, you know, the other nations to support an aggressive invasion, that's okay with the people of Norway?
Well, in official politics, then the government of Norway is most likely to go along with it.
What about the people?
Well, the people are... there are still many, many old people in Norway that remember the war very clearly, Second World War. And there are many of the old people that are very upset with Norway having a few officers in Iraq now, and are very opposed to any kind of war that is not on Norwegian land,
mm-hmm.
and that is not a defense war.
Don't they understand we're defending vital interests in the Middle East and saving those people from a dictatorship?
Well...
What's wrong with you Norwegians, man? Are you French?
Yeah, well, we might be a bit French, but the way we see it, my impression is that we don't like, also, people don't really believe that the agenda is was necessarily that it was freeing the Iraqi people.
Well, the oil must be protected at all costs, too, but it's only for their own good, you understand?
Yeah, I understand that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we have different news here, but from what it seems to most people here, it's much of the reasoning for going to war so soon has sort of fallen through. It wasn't really telling it how it was.
Ah, yes, the weapons of mass destruction and so forth. How large is Norway? How many people are in the country?
There are only 4 million.
So you're about, the size of San Francisco and the East and Alameda County put together here in in California.
Yeah, like a piece of Los Angeles.
Wow. So, how are the police in Norway? How do they treat homeless people there?
Well, there are very few homeless people. It's like if you are thrown out on the street or for some reason and you lose your job or you get ill or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Then the government have to give you another place and pay for it. If they don't do that, they can be charged. The
wow.
people are responsible.
I'm moving to Norway immediately.
Well, you know, that's what some people in Norway are afraid of now, that we are getting closer to the European Union.
All those Turkish immigrants are coming in.
Yeah, we are afraid that it will be hard to uphold the welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
Or many people are worried about that. But there are also developments in the European Union. There have been several rounds of discussion about giving people something called citizens' wages, that you get a certain minimum payments even if you don't have anything to do, and it is to cut back on bureaucracy and stuff so that everybody has like enough to get by.
Sounds like communism to me, son.
Well, it might sound like communism, but it is I think there are very low crime rates in Norway, and I think that is a
well, that's probably because every Norwegian has a gun, right?
Well, there are many people with guns, but it's very rare that you hear about anyone using them. There are rifles and hunting guns. Ordinary handguns are almost nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even the police in Norway don't have guns.
What about, I don't know if you heard earlier the discussion with Tad of Arcata about the concerns that homeless people have here, that even if services are offered and provided, there is now a kind of a fascistic, you join up or else we take away your rights, you no longer have the right to be houseless. Is there a right to be houseless in Norway? I mean, can they...
that was what I was going to say, that those who are homeless in Norway are homeless by choice, because they... because if they want to go and ask for, say that they want a place to stay, they will be given one, even if it's hospice or hotel or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But if they're houseless by choice, are they allowed to be houseless by choice?
Yeah, they are allowed to be, and there are some people that are living like that, not usually for long periods of time, but for short periods. You can travel around, and as I said, you can camp anywhere you want to go. And
well, you also have rather severe climate there, particularly in the winter, right?
Yeah, and that makes it almost impossible to be a sort of a year-round outdoor camper.
I know in Alaska, I think there's some rules. You always have to pick up hitchhikers on the road in Alaska. It's not legal not to. It's unlike in other states where they try to make it criminal to hitchhike.
Yeah, but I guess Alaska is a bit colder than Norway.
That could be. What about the drug war? I know I've got you on the line. You're the expert on Norway. At least I've dubbed you expert of the day. You have a massive attack on people who use marijuana or other hard drugs. Are the jails in Norway filled up with people for these victimless crimes?
No. People who are caught with having something on them for their own use, you can be fined for it. Mm-hmm. And only if you have sort of like a pile of fines, you will possibly go to jail for it. Otherwise, they're trying to get... Norway is sort of on the side of America in the war on drugs. We have similar policies on it, but we also have... Well, I guess we're more aligned with the European point of view, although we haven't gone as far as Germany and Netherlands yet with legalizing, you know, what you have for your own smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in Germany and Netherlands, you can only... It's not allowed to deal with it, but it's allowed to have for your own use.
You are allowed to have it for your own use.
Yeah, at least in Amsterdam and Hamburg.
Well, I know they also have you know cannabis shops. You can go and have coffee and smoke recreationally. Marijuana. You can medically use marijuana in Oakland and cannabis clubs in the United States in California.
Yeah.
But so I guess Norway is still kind of a red, white, and blue Ein Reich, that's the United States approach on the drug war.
Well, Norwegians, since the last 50 years, or actually since the 1800s, we love to love America as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are more Norwegian people from Norwegian heritage in America than there is in Norway.
Wow.
There was like almost half the population went over to America in the last 300 years. A lot of them went to Minnesota and also many people in the fish industry in California, for example.
So you formed terrorist sleeper cells that are only about to explode?
Well, I would... Well, most Norwegians that are in the United States are considered to be... I think there are many of the Norwegians that are conservative and in these... but also, of course, Democrats, but well integrated in American society.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking with... give me your name again, Bjorn.
My name is Bjorn Keating.
Hey, Bjorn. Does Harmony want to say anything before we sign off, or is there more you would like to say before we go?
Yeah, well, just on that last note about Norway, it's strong ties to America. Norway is always trying to keep a loyalty to America, because mm-hmm. we like what America did to help us during the war, and because of all the family ties across the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still we have... you know, the basic political system or parties that have run Norway since the war have been social democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like communism to most Americans, but it has actually been very good for business also, because many private business runners vote for social democrats because they ensure a certain quality of the workforce in downtimes. You know, you don't get totally pushed out of society and then to build yourself up to get back in, to sort of keep people going through hard times, so
mm-hmm.
that there is a good workforce when there are better times.
Yeah, but we at Halliburton believe we can find better workforces in third world countries, so
yeah, I know,
you can take your ancient theories and stuff them where the sun don't shine.
Yeah. Well, I know about that, and it's happening a little bit in Norway also, that some large corporations outsourcing to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also very strong unions in Norway. So,
what percentage of the population is unionized, Bjorn?
A large part? It's about 50% of the workforce.
Wow, I think we're down to 18% or something in this country.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Bjorn, thank you for giving us the update on a variety of subjects. Appreciate it. Anything Harmony wants to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Harmony. Anything you want to say to all your fans in Santa Cruz?
Well, there's just one brief note I wanted to say, that I really didn't have a record of gentlemen visitors.
Oh, ho, you slut, you.
I was laughing. What kind of reputation is my husband?
Your reputation is ruined, kiddo.
Oh, gosh. So, we've been through quite an adventure, and I've just been, ever since 9/11, 2001, I've been watching what's been unfolding in the U.S. For civil rights, for liberties, for, in particular for, you know, my fellow homeless people, with great horror, trepidation. It's watching the Constitution being gutted in the Bill of Rights.
We like to think of it as improved and brought into the 21st century.
Oh, right, right. Let's see. It's quite horrifying. I grew up in New England. I grew up where the American Revolution started, so I've gotten, you know, I kind of like to keep the Constitution and the Bill of Rights the way it's been, you know.
Well, I'd like to talk to you more about, you know, that and how it relates to what you can do in Norway to make sure the Bill of Rights. I think when other countries collude with U.S. efforts, that helps. Administration's embargo on Iraq. But, any shout outs to people that you want to say hi to?
To my friend Ebeth, who's been an artist there in Santa Cruz. BT and I really feel very grateful to her. I'd done her a favor at one point and given her $127 when she needed it, and I gave it to her saying, "Don't pay this back. It's not a loan. Just pass it on to the next person in need."
Okay.
And, 2 years elapsed, and lo and behold, BT and I are the next people in need.
Wow.
So we...
Karma.
Yes. And so we show up in Santa Cruz, and actually we had no car at that point. We were on the street on foot. And we gave Ebeth a call, and she said, "Wait a minute, I have a friend, and she has a VW that's been on this car lot, unused for 2 years. Let me see what we can do." And so the next thing I know that we're given this free VW van. All it needs is a new battery. And Ebeth gave me back the $127.
Hey, thank you, Harmony, and call again.
Yeah. Take care, Robert.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, Free Radio Santa Cruz's phone lines are open. Still in the studio with me is Valerie on the guitar, actually doing some sewing, it looks like, or crocheting, perhaps. And a computer that may or may not be functional. I'm not sure. It's been beeping for the last hour for all you Free Radio techies who might be wandering around on the Pogonip near our station. Or are we on the boardwalk? You'll never know. actually, it's not hard to find us, but nonetheless, certainly we're at 101.1 on your dial and www.freakradio.org on your computer, on your internet. So that's something you can jump onto. Give a call if you got comments. I'm going to throw a little more music on here from another one of those safe performers. It'll be a safe event. I guess it'll be number 19. Is that right, Valerie?
It looks like it.
That'll be on Wednesday if you want to come join us. Oops. Let's make sure we don't crunch the tapes here. Here's a little more from Tom Donnelly.
How do you say those in Japanese?
How do you say that in English, please?
My Japanese is not so good. I hope you will forgive me. The memory of my mistakes I hope will not outlive me. Kore wa nihongo de, sore wa eigo. Ima nanji desu ka? One moment, where's my jisho? Moshi, who is this? Watashi wa Tomasu. Konbanwa Tomasan, excuse me, shitsure shimasu. Hai, hajime mashite, dozo yoroshiku. McDonald's, ikimashou, grab some niku. Watashi ga nihongo pera pera, maybe someday. For now I'll speak my broken Japanese here in Iwate. When the sun sets in the west and the workers take their rest, I like to lay back on the sofa with the drink I like the best. It's made of snips and snails and puppy dog tails, plus sugar and spice and everything nice. Gasoline and turpentine, whiskey, scotch and wine. Poison ivy, wings of bats, rhododendron, platypus fat, rubber, styrofoam and nerf, aluminum, steel and astroturf, a cup of diesels, mumps and measles and the heart of a baby weasel. It's a drink for you and your next of kin. It's hearty and stout and stronger than sin. Don't forget to bring the neighbors in for a swig of that sweet sun liquor.
And that's the Wild and Crazy Tom Donnelly, a safester par extraordinaire, or certainly one of the many, from his CD termed Henna Tanaku. Don't ask me what it means, but that's what it is. Santa Cruz City Council meets June 8th, day after tomorrow. It has a closed litigation session at noon. For those of you who have litigation you want to mention in the open interval before they close down, that's usually in the City Council chambers right behind the main City Council chamber. It's sort of a little support room. It's easy to find. I think this computer is about to go off. 3 o'clock is the afternoon administrative session, at which the issue of calling for the impeachment of Rumsfeld is coming up. That is a resolution that was, I guess, put on the agenda by a coalition of activists, including Sherry Connable, Celia Scott, Louis LaFortune, and others. It's asking for the U.S. to investigate Abu Ghraib-type prison abuses and also get rid of Rumsfeld. To me, it's very much too little too late, and it's kind of a sad thing to have Santa Cruz on the way tail end, is way behind the curve. I guess you might say that we're on the breaking wave if no other city councils have done this, but it's like sort of asking, I don't know, for the firing of Hitler's deputies or something. You know, I mean, it's kind of a strange sort of half-assed maneuver. It doesn't even go to the basic issue of getting out of Iraq, which is what was on the city council agenda a year ago April, but Kennedy sabotaged that by first insisting on a longer resolution and then withdrawing his resolution way back then in April of 2003. I put out a little bit of flyering, encouraging people to call the city council at 420-5020 and tell them, get this issue back on the agenda, call for the U.S. to get out of Iraq now, N-O-W, that's how they spell it, and that's how you yell it. But if you want to speak on this issue on the Santa Cruz City Council agenda, it is on the agenda, and it'll be probably, it's, you got to come at 3 to be sure you get to it, probably be around 4. You can call the city clerk's office, again, 420-5020, same number as the city council, and try to get some idea of when it's going to be on Monday or Tuesday. And you can actually call during the city council meeting to try to find out where they are, though sometimes the staff is not too well informed on that subject or is too busy to really address the issue properly. So that's that could be a problem. That's what's on the agenda. I'm looking for the actual resolution, which I believe I have here. I'm looking for it here. I think I'm about to find it. I've got information on the war, on the Patriot Act. It's online. For those of you who want to go online and look for the City Council agenda item, I don't have it immediately available. There was a protest in San Francisco yesterday. For those who went to it, I'd like to hear about it. And there are protests coming up. Perhaps that's more important even than reporting on the past protests. Here's an article from the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday. World of biotechnology converges on San Francisco this weekend with 18,000 executives, lobbyists, and scientists expected to show up for the industry's biggest get-together of the year. Activists and progressive policy wonks are streaming into San Francisco for a week-long series of events protesting the Bio 2004 Annual International Convention. Why the outrage? The big picture, according to activists, government make heavy-handed policy that benefits only a few corporations with little input from real people. That's the case, say activists, whether the policies are local regulations dealing with homelessness in San Francisco, federal trade rules for genetically modified food, or military directives for the war in Iraq. Josh Wolf, an anarchist who plans to sleep in a Golden Gate Park tent city today, that's probably happening up in San Francisco, wants to show how the city's homeless people are treated. And David Kahn, who will rally Monday for... We'll rally Monday for California's incarcerated youth, and Karen Heisler will explore a new form of democracy Monday night by pairing Bayview District mothers with AIDS researchers and city policymakers. These and several thousand other activists and progressive policy wonks are streaming into San Francisco. To them, the question, what does this have to do with biotech, the Bio 2004 Annual International Convention, is answered with another question. Do you see a pattern here? The pattern, according to activists, governments make heavy-handed policy, and while the annual biotech conference usually attracts a few thousand protesters in other cities, organizers say there's a simple reason this year's event is drawing an extraordinary amount of interest from across the activist rainbow. It's San Francisco, said Eileen Rose, a smile crossing the native San Franciscan's face. We never thought the biotech conference would have the nerve to come here. Bio 2004 organizers say they're coming to San Francisco because it's the birthplace of the industry and has the largest concentration of its workers and businesses. A conference spokesman said people have a right to protest as long as they do so peacefully. San Francisco police are at their highest alert since the days when protests clogged downtown after the United States invaded Iraq, said Deputy Chief Greg Sir. Neither police nor organizers are sure how many people will show up Tuesday for the activist centerpiece effort, an effort to shut down the conference center at Moscone Center through nonviolent civil disobedience. But even activist organizers concede they need to do something beyond another large demonstration, of which Bay Area residents have seen many during the past couple of years. So the week's events will feature a dozen educational, non-confrontational events organized under the umbrella title Reclaim the Commons. You can go on to the Indie Media website to get more information on that, www.santacruz.indymedia.org. Santa Cruz is one word in small letters, www.santacruz.indymedia.org. The week-long series of teach-ins, forums, rallies, and vampy street theater will touch several corners of the city. A schedule is available at the reclaimthecommons.net website. That's reclaimthecommons.net. reclaimthecommons.net. With activists defining the commons as everything needed to support healthy life on Earth, from air, water, and food to public spaces, culture, and genes, the whole city is in play. Spontaneously placed guerrilla gardens are planned for the Bayview, and there will be a food fight Sunday evening at Fort Mason, where street thespians are expected to pelt each other with genetically modified tomatoes. Some Reclaim the Commons events will be talk-heavy. There's an all-day panel beginning at 10 a.m. on Saturday, that was yesterday, at the Women's Building. A forum featuring many of the biotech's leading critics will discuss alternatives. They did discuss them at 7:30 at the Unitarian Hall last night. It's not that we're against biotechnology, said Andrew Kimbrell, executive director of the Center for Food Safety in Washington and a participant in today's discussions. It's just that what the industry has done is take science it isn't ready and rush it to the commercial market all in the name of profit. Across town, Wolf will be in Golden Gate Park, which activists are declaring a temporary autonomous zone beginning 4 p.m. yesterday. Translation, anything goes, it's a free space, said Wolf, a 21-year-old student at San Francisco State. Mainly, they're taking aim at the city ban on sleeping in the park. Challenging that law, Wolf said, is a way to criticize San Francisco's policies on homelessness, which, he said, are crafted mainly to appease the city's corporations. He expects to be joined by itinerant activists coming into town and looking for a place to hang out after the day's events. In an undetermined location, they plan to show and create art and screen subversive movies, including the documentary This Is What Democracy Looks Like, about the Seattle protests of 1999, and the Humphrey Bogart classic The Maltese Falcon. The Maltese Falcon? Well, that's not really subversive, allowed Wolf. Then again, he said, the program isn't really set because when you're dealing with anarchists, there's a whatever happens kind of atmosphere. Local topical note, the guerrilla theater that Santa Cruz local set up was interrupted by the police. I guess this I'm not quite sure where this theater is held, but they were showing a movie on the back of a building somewhere. The police showed up and insisted, you can't do this, even though they were just sitting around watching The Third Man, an old Orson Welles film from the late 40s. So they ended up, they stopped the movie, and they spent their time talking to the audience about what happened in the rest of the movie in order to fill in the parts that the police would not let them see. It kind of reminded me of what the police did in front of the Pacific Trading Company a year ago when we attempted to show a video about the Pacific Trading Company's collusion with the police department and what they were up to there. And the police department's harassment of activists downtown, the police came in and closed down our video on the sidewalk, cited me, and I was eventually convicted of audio sound without a permit, amplified audio sound without a permit, something that they'd never charged me with before, even though I'd repeatedly done this. And they were it was clearly a decision by Sergeant Baker to go after me without warning. It was interesting, but anyway, the same kind of process of stopping information accessibility that people are putting out on their own, and that there's not a part of any kind of corporate scheme or a government plan or a social service provider okay deal. It's a conspiracy, folks. What can I tell you? At least they all seem to be doing the same thing everywhere you look. So you make up your own minds. The Maltese Falcon, well, that's not really subversive, allows Wolf. Then again, he said, the program isn't really set because when you're dealing with anarchists, there's a whatever happens kind of atmosphere. The atmosphere will be decidedly more structured at 6 p.m. Monday at the California College of the Arts. This is up in San Francisco at 1111 8th Street. There, neighborhood residents will get the chance to participate in a forum to discuss the effects of the biotech industry may have on communities from the Bayview to south of Market. These effects could be good, new jobs in areas of high unemployment, or they could lead to new, potentially toxic industries in those neighborhoods. Organizers of the so-called World Cafe will seat neighborhood residents at a table of four with such wonks as researchers from UCSF and officials from the city's public health department. Then, after 20 minutes of chat, they'll rotate the participants among the tables. Heisler said she and other organizers want to create a mix of different perspectives in the room at 100-plus participants and not stack it with activists. They not only want to discuss biotech's effect on the city, but explore inclusive ways of creating policies to manage the industry's growth. People can sign up for the session by sending an email to sfbiotech, all one word, sfbiotech, T-E-C-H, at hotmail.com. At 10 a.m. Monday, there will be a rally at the federal building, followed by a walk across the street to the state building in an effort to show that the torture at the U.S. military prison at Abu Ghraib is not much different from the abuses inside the California Youth Authority, said organizer David Kahn. The link to biotech, it comes down to those whose interest does the government serve, said Kahn, an Oakland organizer with Books Not Bombs. Biotechnology shows a lack of respect for sustainability of nature, and these prisons show a lack of respect for human beings. Email, well, that's actually a story at the San Francisco Chronicle. You can catch it online if you want. There's also a protest today celebrating 56 years of Palestinian resistance at Pac Bell Park. Protest begins at noon, which is about now. Breaking news from Saturday, however, yesterday there was an anti-war demonstration, and there's kind of a chronology on the Internet until it went down. Not sure why it went down. 11 o'clock, protesters began to gather at UN Plaza yesterday. This is the anti-war component of all these Reclaim the Commons protests happening this weekend in San Francisco. A group of about 150 right-wing protesters showed up at Justin Herman Plaza awaiting the arrival of the anti-war protesters. Many of them are carrying U.S. or Israeli flags. On 1220, the Answer March, that's the group that sponsored the large anti-war protest, has left UN Plaza and is heading toward the Embarcadero. Okay, there was calls for a breakaway march were posted on local indie media and mailing lists previously. The march is approaching Front Street, where a smaller right-wing counter-demonstration at 1 o'clock yesterday was being held. Small numbers, but they have a bullhorn. These were kind of postings they did as it was happening. At 1:15, the first pictures of the march were posted. They're actually still online, I believe, if you go to sfindymedia.org. www.sfindymedia.org is the website for San Francisco Indie Media. Or you can go to Santa Cruz Indie Media and then just look in the extreme left end of the screen, and you'll find all the indie medias from Bangkok to Bangladesh there on that side of the screen. And the march, National Lawyers Guild announced a legal support line for the protests yesterday and gave a phone number. 2:45, hundreds of protesters were cheering upon news that Ronald Reagan has died. Breakaway march at 3:30 left the main rally and proceeded for the Embarcadero, led by a big anti-G8 banner. The marchers weaved in and out of the street and traffic and onto the sidewalk. One person was arrested and the march was surrounded, but then the marchers proceeded to Fisherman's Wharf. At Pier 39, the police pushed through the tourists holding crowd control guns and directed people back away from the Embarcadero. Get back, get back, get away from that First Amendment. The roving crowd then weaved their way back to the answer rally, the main rally. Pictures being posted now by San Francisco Indy Media reporters are on the net. 4 p.m., the police surrounded some people around the main stage. The answer rally, several people were being arrested. Some people were seen throwing chairs at the police in response. And at that time, then for some strange reason, the Indy Media site broke down. Then there was an article in today's San Francisco Chronicle on this protest yesterday, which I was reading you about. We feel the momentum is really shifting, said Mazdi Majidi, a volunteer with International Answer, the protest organizer. As we talk to people in the community, we can see a shift. People who are not oriented to the anti-war movement are now questioning this war. Thousands march down Market, want troops out of Iraq, by Ryan Kim, Cicero Estrella, and Michael Sibantatom, Chronicle staff writers. Thousands of protesters took to the sunny streets of downtown San Francisco yesterday, hoping to turn public outrage over prisoner abuse in Iraq into demands to withdraw U.S. troops. A crowd estimated at 8,000 to 10,000 by both police and protest organizers gathered UN Plaza, then marched down Market Street. We have no idea, by the way, how large the crowd is. Don't trust the Chronicle on these estimates. Around noon to Justin Herman Plaza, where they listened to speakers demand an end to the U.S. military presence in Iraq. As they neared the Embarcadero, the protesters ran into about 500 pro-Israeli demonstrators waving Israeli and American flags and protesting what they see as an anti-Israel message from the anti-war protests. The opposing groups started at opposite ends of the walkway between the foot of Market Street and the Embarcadero, but verbal exchanges became increasingly heated as the afternoon wore on, and police were forced to step in and keep the groups apart. The pro-Israel group that protested Saturday's protest was formed about a month ago as a response to what Israel supporters say is an anti-Israel stance. This is all about the Israeli government, as far as I'm concerned, not about the Israeli people, but that's just my view. Presented during International Answer rallies and protests. Many in Saturday's march carried pro-Palestine and anti-Israel signs. Some said they oppose Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. I'm anti-war. I don't agree with almost anything George Bush does, said counter-protest organizer Dan Kleeman of Oakland, but I'm here to support Israel. We want to educate people that Answer has hijacked the anti-war movement to advance its jihadi agenda. Police said that despite the shouting, the main march and rally were largely peaceful and there were no arrests. Five participants in a breakaway march led by self-proclaimed anarchists were arrested later in the afternoon. Well, arrest all those anarchists, that's what I say. Two were arrested for allegedly disobeying police orders, just kidding, folks, and walking in the street after police turned to the marchers' back as they headed down the Embarcadero to Fisherman's Wharf. Three more were taken into custody after they returned to Justin Herman Plaza, and one challenged a police officer to fight. A misdemeanor, according to Captain Dennis Martell. And that's a very interesting name. Dennis Martell was the man who repeatedly arrested Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs. And quite a man he is. We have kind of a docket on Mr. Martell. The two others were arrested for interfering with his arrest and resisting arrest, he said. It's always nice for the police when they start arresting you for resisting arrest, but they can't find an underlying charge. Oh, dear. All were cited and released. Many of Saturday's protesters said they were convinced that public opinion is turning against the war. Now, if only somebody will do something about it. We feel that the momentum is really shifting, said Mazda Majidi, a volunteer with International Answer. And I mentioned that quote before. Bill Hackwell, Answer's march organizer, said he believes public outrage over the abuse of Iraqis at Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison has caused many Americans to question U.S. involvement in Iraq. Our message is being received more and more, he said. I think our message is getting out to more and more people. It's more fertile ground for our anti-war message. Well, I think it's time for a little more music, and on that theme we have a little of a disc I began to play, gosh, it was 6 months ago when Anna Feeney came to town and was actually live in the studio. This is a Chandler Feeney disc called Live from the Holy Stolen Empire. I'm going to start playing it, and I'll play a little bits of it before we reach the end of the show at 1 o'clock. I guess it's called... I think it's the Holy
Stolen Empire. It might be called Manifest Destiny. Let's hear a little bit of it. And if you want to call in, phone lines are open. Computer is actually operational. The something alarm is not beeping anymore, and for some reason, we have no KSCO on the phone line at the moment. But, you know, I never can tell, so better call now if you want to get in touch. 427-3772.
That right now, at this time, tonight, all the major networks are carrying the leader of the formerly free world, and we've got Chris Chandler and Ann Feeney, the Flying Poetry Circus.
Thank you. In times of great crisis, the world looks to great leaders. Winston Churchill, Franklin Roosevelt. But who did we get? Well, fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. This is a visit to Six Flags over Mecca. And the rides in this theme park are very, very dangerous.
She flies through the air with the greatest of ease, the beautiful gal and the flying trapeze.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a genuine carnival of old. We have cabinet freak shows and foreign policy roller coasters, multinational corporate clowns and phony media hype men pitching a rigged game that promised something of value but was impossible to win, leaving us to choose a cheap prize that no one really wanted. Forrest W. Gump, a tiny stuffed buffoon, standing on the trophy shelf to the extreme right of his father, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon.
Hey, you with the red checkered hat on, would you like to see what you've won? A world of adventure is waiting for you behind door number one.
See the puppet show with return visit from many members of the original cast. We have Dick Cheney as Elmer Fudd, Donald Rumsfeld as Yosemite Sam, and Elizabeth Dole takes the place of Jesse Helms in the role of just plain Goofy.
For tonight's performance, the role of Clarence Thomas will be played by Al Jolson.
Colin Powell plays Pluto, Mickey Mouse's vicious attack dog who seems to have lost or maybe never had any genitalia. He remains the only character in all of Disneyland who cannot speak. This show once featured Ronald Reagan as a marionette for big business, but now the same guys had their hands stuck so far up the tight rectal sphincter of George W. Bush, they could operate this guy like a hand puppet.
Scream and you'll laugh. Take a peek behind the red door for only a buck and a half.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen, it's a shell game. Have the astonishing Ashcroft ask you, which rock is Bin Laden hiding under? And as you stand there mesmerized, you find your pockets have been picked and your civil liberties disappear before your very eyes. All around you, cheap carnival hucksters cash in with t-shirts that say, God bless the USA. You were made in sweatshops in Bangladesh,
a Muslim country.
While CNN asks, why do they hate us? Well, all around you, our whole culture can be so distorted it can only be viewed from the funhouse mirror. But these days, when we look in the funhouse mirror, our reflection seems normal. For instance, our president claims that we were attacked because we are the beacon of hope and opportunity, but has absolutely nothing to do with our desire to turn the world into a shopping mall. And our response should be to go out and buy more stuff. New flag for your SUV, $19.95. New SUV, $40,000. Looking more patriotic than your neighbors? Priceless.
Would you like to buy a bottle? We swear you will never grow old. It takes lines from your face. It gets you a date. It cures the common cold.
Though elected by the overwhelming indifference of the American people, public opinion polls now show us generally divided between the patriotic and the jingoistic. 15% saying that the ability to find Afghanistan on a globe should not be a requirement for the commander-in-chief as long as we bomb someone.
23% saying that failure to display a flag does not cover the entirety of your house, lawn, and two-thirds of the sidewalk is signs of militant Islamic tendencies and is grounds for deportation, internment, and in truly egregious cases, that person should be forced to watch a Lee Greenwood concert.
And I'm proud to be an American, or at least I think I'm free, to get 6 miles a gallon in my cool Jeep Cherokee. And I will stand up and kick your ass if you're different than me. There ain't no doubt in no one's mind, I love my SUV.
We Americans now long for the golden comfort of the familiar. And our president says, get back to normal. Go to Disneyland. This will show that we are truly the superior culture. But our mighty department stores and strip malls will homogenize every speck of variety, so the only sense of innovation left to us is new and different ways to export super-sized blandness to every possible corner in the global theme park. Why, we can have the Hard Rock Cafe, Islamabad. At the food court, we may have trouble convincing Mexicans just what a Chalupa Supreme really is, but Taco Bell, it's the people's taco.
Registered trademark.
But that's nothing compared to the McMuslim burger, a samosa with cheese, McWhoof and mouth disease, and KFCIA.
The bright lights make you dizzy as the big wheel spins you around. You can almost smell the heaven till the big wheel brings you down.
Yes, indeed, it's Forrest W. Gump, dressed as a stuttering Wyatt Earp in a bad Ronald Reagan Western, using Ronald Reagan's best lines. We're gonna smoke them out. Wanted, dead or alive. You're either with us, or you're against us.
John Poindexter, Henry Kissinger, where did Dresden
up? You're either with us, or you're against us.
You're out of your mind?
You're either with us, or you're against us.
Don't you think the guy with his finger on the trigger ought to at least be required to pronounce the word nuclear correctly?
It's like a mantra or a sing-along being sung by Disney-like mechanical heads of state operated by the wonderful Wall Street Wizards of Oz.
Pay no attention to that corporation behind the flag.
But no matter how many times they sing, ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas, cut taxes for the rich and give the poor a bath, it all ends with the same old line. It's a small mind after all.
And that was Ann Feeney and Chris Chandler. And you may hear more of them, you may not. In the studio with us, we have a new special guest, a would-be broadcaster. Joy, will you belly up to the mic and say hi over here? She's approaching, folks. She's getting it together.
Hi, and, Robert.
Hey, Joy. You're part of the Kenyan Huff, right? You're a representative over in Kenya.
That's right.
And how is Huff in Kenya doing these days?
Well, it's still a grassroots organization, of course.
Does it mean you smoke a lot of marijuana over there?
As often as we can.
Uh-huh, right.
At every opportunity, of course. And though the laws there are not really as clear here, there seems to be quite a bit of brouhaha here about who should and shouldn't. You know, we don't take that a serious enough issue
about sleeping? Here we have a criminal sleeping problem with, you know, scumballs sleeping here, there, and everywhere. Skunks, punks, and drunks are all over town, giving a bad name to our fair city. What do the Kenyan police do to deal with this kind of problem in Kenya?
Well, I think one of the differences, one of the issues here is this is considered a high, a very white-collar tourist resorty area. Where you know that our town fathers are not comfortable with the idea of their high end tourists coming here and seeing these homeless people, because this is not supposed to happen in this shiny, polished society. You're not supposed to have poor people or disadvantaged people in this la la land that we're trying to create.
But what about your native Kenya, where in fact
we're a little more realistic about it, because we don't equate poverty or lack of social advantage with a person's character quite as much as it's done here.
You mean you lack the key Protestant ethic that has made us what we are today in America.
I would like to say that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been here, a foreigner that you are, clearly?
I've been here on and off for the last 15 years, and I remember you and I discussed this before in our first interview, where your first question was whether I was a terrorist.
Well, yeah, I want to get that out of the way first. If you admit it now, then we can kind of move right along, and
yes.
You know, Guantanamo stay will be a little shorter and more
yes.
comfortable.
Yes.
That's my plan.
Also,
we're hoping to get a federal grant from to get some sort of free radio. We're vetting you, you know.
Yes.
Rather than these clumsy techniques they're using in Abu Dhabi, we have a more sophisticated approach here in Santa Cruz. We joke you to death.
Yes.
That's the idea, you see.
That's right. Right. The basil making you.
Right.
Yes.
So you claim to be a sort of an undercover terrorist, since obviously you're not admitting your terrorist associations.
But that depends on who I am directing my ire on. You see, when you say terrorists, everybody automatically assumes it's you know, it's crazed Arabs or Muslims on a what is it called? An al-had?
Jihad.
A jihad? Uh-huh. Yes, excuse me. My brand of terror really is more anti-system, whether it's an American system or the British system or the Kenyans, any system that in any way supports or abets aggression of man on man. I don't care what the excuse is. That is a system with which, yes,
is this an attack on those of us with penises here? Is that the idea? Just because you're a woman, are you suggesting that somehow you have a right to abuse your talk show host, the individual who has allowed you into the studio? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, if the cab fits.
Is that some sort of suggestive comment, perhaps?
No.
Okay.
Friends, Robert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, you are actually, Joy, seeking a program of your own here on Free Radio with our speedy application service, and zip through all the processes at lightning speed.
That would be nice.
You've actually been seeking one for the last 6 months,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're hoping that the crew at the at Stalinist Central down there at Free Radio gets off its collective. we own the station. We'll do whatever the hell we want when we feel like it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a call from Vinny. Who knows? Anyway, yeah, there is an application process for those who want to know. You can always dial 427-4523, which is the Free Radio voicemail, and get lost in voicemail hell. No, actually, it's a message about what to do, and you can leave a message of your own. Hope that it will be responded to, or you can go on the web at www.freakradio.org, and there's an application form there, I'm told. And usually what they want you to do is, you know, make a 15-minute tape of the kinds of subversive material you'll be putting out on the air.
Okay.
And our politically correct censors will see if, in fact, it meets the high standards, some cases with some show people very high standards, that we are so accustomed to here. So what will your show be about, Joy?
Okay, well, this is very broad, very basic, but it would be something, a show, you know, with communication, a little bit kind of like your venue, interspersed with music and maybe ideas and guests. On maybe issues that
I hope you're not going to accuse our Santa Cruz police of going after people of color in a discriminatory fashion. We've heard that kind of complaint far too many times.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll just call them as I see them. So if you're out there aggressing anybody or anything that you shouldn't be, well.
You'll get the shit from Joy here. She'll just...
We'll do what we can.
No quarter. Take
we'll
no prisoners.
We'll share with you, yes, unabashedly.
You will have a direct line to the White House to deal with these problems.
Yes.
So that's what will be coming up. Hopefully next week you'll be able to do a 15-minute... I will try to show you with my advanced programming skills here how to deal with the station, and we will see if we will do a kind of a little demonstration here with you as my guest as to just what kind of nonsense will be going on. For those who are interested in hearing Joy fumble around at the board, it'll probably be 12:30 next Sunday. I also do a show on Thursday from 6 to 8 for those of you who haven't had enough of this stuff, and that's coming up 6 to 8 in the evening on Thursdays. And feel free, by the way, we're still in the studio, still lingering here with her guitar is Valerie, and both of them are sharing the same mic over there. I've invited them to sit on my lap, but they've declined. Well, actually, I haven't invited Valerie yet. We'll see what happens later with that one. This kind of broadcaster misconduct will probably be taken up at the next free radio meeting, but we'll see about that. You too can involve yourself in this kind of misconduct by giving a call to 427-3772. I actually have the computer working again. I'm going to run through a few more notes. There is a city council meeting for all of you diehards, although I may be up in San Francisco on Tuesday. It sounds like it's going to be much more interesting and active and effective up there than trying to talk to Scott Kennedy and Mike Rotkin, which is just the pits, I'll tell you. We have a phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Valerie, Joy, and Robert.
Hi, Robert. This is Ray calling back.
Hey, Ray. What's the word?
I just wanted to give you an update on the Guerrilla Theater.
Oh, tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, so let me read the little flyer they have here. Santa Cruz, Guerrilla Drive-In. Live, modern, enjoy a modern movie. Summer schedule. Santa Cruz, Guerrilla Drive-In is exactly what it sounds like. An outdoor movie theater under the stars that springs up unexpectedly in the field and industrial wasteland. Guerrilla Drive-In is helping to reclaim public space and transform our urban environment into a joyful playground that it should be. And the last movie was Secretary. That was just June 4th. And it was a hysterically funny movie, very much a thinking person's movie, as well as a very sexual movie. And
what was the name of that movie?
Secretary.
Secretary.
It's kind of a modern story of O. And there's about maybe 45 to 50 people that showed up.
And this was, and where is it all located? Tell me the location.
Okay. It's on DeBose Street, which is, you know, kind of back by Costco.
By Costco's, DuBois Street.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So if you cross Highway 1, you go up to the first light, you make a left, you drive all the way up to the hills, then you make another left, and just look for the cars and look for the people starting to march out into the field. And bring a blanket to lay on, bring a blanket to cover yourself with, a lawn chair, some wine, something to munch on. You know, and the cool thing about this is it's not they just show a movie, but it's a networking place, and there's, you know, they give ample time for people to network and to say hi and to meet each other and to just enjoy something that's really creative. You know, and I'd also like to say,
when is the next one, Ray?
Next one is actually going to be on my birthday, which is June 18th, and it's going to be Ghost World. And here's what it says about that. A story of two disaffected recent high school grad girls and one struggle and one strange obsessive loner and their struggle to come to grips with culture they are expected to become a part of, and it's hosted by Morgan. You may or may not know who he is.
No, but you had a kind of an interesting encounter with the local police the last time that you showed this movie. When would that happen?
That was The Third Man, and that was May 21st. And yeah, the cops busted up the movie, but you know they didn't bust up the party. And you know, people still, you know, it was really good because though they shut the movie down, there's enough people who had seen it before who, you know, kind of stood up and, you know, said, well, this happens, and what do you think of this character and that character? And we talked about it, and we still stayed there until after the cops left.
Did the police officer join in your discussions of The Third Man?
No, he was busy harassing some youngsters for underage drinking, and he was, like, you know, making a big point of running them off and saying, don't make me look any further. You know, I mean, you know, he didn't want to wade through the crowd because there's, like, 60 people there enjoying the movie.
So this was Santa Cruz Police?
Yeah, Santa Cruz Police. Young, dumb, big rookie cop. It was funny because he did not know what to make of the spectacle of people just, you know, coming together out of nowhere doing something that was cool. It was just beyond his comprehension.
Hmm.
And you know, I've been turning this on to lots of different people that I know that aren't really into counterculture, and you know, they love it. It's so cool to come down there under the stars and just you know, enjoy the evening, meet some new folks, and you know, see a cool movie and kick back for a while. So it's a good thing to support because you know, they need the money and they're doing it on a shoestring if they're not.
June 18th at DuBois Street and
Ghost World.
Sorry?
Ghost World.
Ghost World is the name of the movie. What time?
I like to show up about 8 o'clock because it's still, you know, it's still a little bit light, so you can, you know, you can make some new friends and you can hang out for a while. And then usually about 8:15, 8:20, they start the movie, and usually they have a couple of shorts or, you know, something like that. And
bring your own popcorn.
Yeah, or sometimes they actually provide popcorn, which is really cool.
I know often the popcorn emerges from the theaters to show up right in front of Borders, huge bags of popcorn, which is, it's always kind of refreshing to know that there's a little bit of cycling going on. Are you going up this weekend to San Francisco to the protests that are going on up there? I know yesterday was anti-war, and then there's going to be anti-prison and anti-biotech, and there's a Taking Back the Commons in the park, a tent city that's happening, all this stuff.
Yeah, I've heard about all of it, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get away from Santa Cruz, so I'm going to have to do my activism right here in town.
Huh.
But, you know, I would love to get up there because, you know, the camaraderie of having all those folks who are, like, you know, trying to do something that's real, it's fantastic. I love doing those things.
Okay, well, thank you for the update. Anything else we should know?
I was just curious about your new guest in the studio. Does she consider herself an anarchist?
Joy, aside from being a terrorist, are you also an anarchist? What's your story?
There's too many labels if we start getting, you know, splitting hairs, you know. Yeah, and so I just consider myself a, you know, member of the human race who has an opinion once in a while and isn't afraid to express it.
Well, I totally dig that, you know, and I like what she said about being against pretty much any system, and, you know, that's where I'm coming from. I mean, any system that wants to promote tyranny on others, you know, by use of force, I think needs to become history.
By the way, do you have any critique of the Anarchist Cafe? You and I met there, I guess it was Friday before last. I kind of found an interesting shindig. Have you been to such events before? And if so, what do you think of this last event?
Yeah, I have been to events like that before. I thought it was a great event. They had great food there. You know, it's nice to go to a party because it's a big house with a huge space there. And there were lots of different things going on. There were things going on inside. There were things going on outside. You know, it was a whole lot of networking. I enjoy going to a cafe, quote-unquote, party that promotes, you know, book sales of subversive material. And there was a lot of really good conversation I had that night. So I thought it was spectacular.
Okay, I won't get into whether you got laid or not because that's none of my affair.
Well, you know, we did meet some new friends, and our new friend Megan, you know, we invited her home to our house, and she hung out for a week or so, and then she actually just yesterday went up to the city to go join the events up there.
Maybe she can give us a report when she gets back. I know that I'd love to get a report on the anti-war thing yesterday, but unfortunately, I was late getting up this morning, and I was just dashing to put it all together. Thank you, Ray, for calling in. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'll see you later.
All righty. So, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the final hurrah, last 15 minutes with Joy and Valerie. I'm Robert. You can call in, 427-3772. City Council's meeting on Tuesday, for those who are interested. Boy, I'm falling asleep as I look at this stuff. There's a whole bunch of things on the consent agenda. That's what Kennedy likes to do. He throws everything on the consent agenda or in the administrative agenda in the afternoon. And there's virtually nothing in the evening, at least that's what the agenda looks like. So everybody kind of gives up hope because most people can't afford to come during the day. Then in the evening, he throws items forward to the evening so the people who came in the afternoon...